Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive and positively into the post-Memorial Day holiday. At some point, it'll be 80 degrees around here. It'll be 120 once it's 80 degrees around here. Luke has been hanging out at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. We have postponed our Fadley show on Wednesday from the 28th. We're going to do that show on June the 13th when the California Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim come in for a series. Luke has been at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Luke, I think when we got together last week, I think people missed it. I said we're suspending all conversation regarding the Baltimore Orioles until they win three in a row. And lo and behold, they won three in a row over the weekend, and now we have to talk about them again.
Yeah, and look at who's doing it. I mean, Trevor Rogers with a good start at Fenway. Dylan Carlson. I mean, who would have thought? Dylan Carlson, one of their hottest hitters here over the last few days. And yes, Charlie Morton with his finest start as an Oriole. And we've talked about it, and you try to look at this through the proper lens at this point. I mean, their record is what it is. The fact that a three-game winning streak feels as big of a deal as it does right now, as far as prosperity, speaks to just how miserable these first couple months have been. But one thing that, if you have been able to stomach continuing to watch this team over the last few weeks, that you have noticed, regardless of what the situation's been, Charlie Morton has looked better the last few weeks. And to see him do what he did on Monday does not wipe away what the first 5 or 6 weeks were and his early work was, but he's looking better. And
They
I
quit
think,
on Gibson quick, right?
yeah, well, and there's the difference. And Morton talked about this. You and I talked about this back in April, and we were talking about one thing that I was struggling with him before just proclaiming that he's done or that he's washed up was, if you looked at it physically, it's not as though the velocity was way down. It's not as though the pitches, his curve, he wasn't commanding, right? And that's been an elite pitch for him. I think what you've seen the last few outings going back to him coming out of the bullpen was that curve's become a thing again. When you looked at what he was able to do with some of the swing and miss he got against the Cardinals, is he going to be able to do this the rest of the year? That's the big question. How much does it matter? I mean, can he pitch well enough that the Orioles might be able to dump him at the deadline and pay off some money and maybe they'll get a couple lottery tickets? Who knows? But he was better on Monday. And what the theme that we kind of saw starting over the weekend at Fenway after just the disaster that Friday afternoon was, I guess that was Friday afternoon,
Dude,
right?
you and I were poop texting
Oh, I mean, it was terrible.
privately with them on Friday afternoon. They were 18 games under 500 Saturday
Sure.
afternoon.
But when you win three in a row and you get decent starting pitching and your at bats have been a little bit better with runners in scoring position, it's amazing how much more manageable it looks to win some ball games. Too little, too late. Yeah. I mean, even if you look at them now after a three-game winning streak, just to get to 85 and 77, they have to play like a 98 win team the rest of the year. I mean, get back to me when this team's won 11 of 12 or something like that, and then we can look at the math at that point. But one of the big questions for me when you make the move to fire Brandon Hyde and Tony Mancelino is your interim manager, and we're going to see what else is going to happen in terms of manager, coaching staff,
Oh, he's
personnel,
awkward.
roster.
It's really awkward.
Well,
Why?
it
I
is,
mean,
but the point I'm trying to make is, what are you going to be the rest of the year? Are you going to continue to play like a 110 loss outfit and you're going to be that embarrassing and that shameful in terms of your performance relative to expectations? Or are you going to get off the mat and at least play better the rest of the way? Is that going to save their season? No, but we're not talking about this team as though it's the dark ages that, oh, they're going to lose like this the next 3 or 4 years. I mean, Lord, I hope not. So the thought is, how can you position yourself to really get back on track and hit the ground running for 2026? That starts now. That's not play this out with listless baseball for the next 4 months. It's who's going to show. Who's going to show that the cream's going to rise to the top and some of these young guys are going to play better and
Jackson
guys are going to
Holliday's
bounce
hit the
back?
ball in every game this month, hasn't
Yeah.
he?
Well, you look at him, Ryan O'Hearn. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn's looking like someone that in a world where Aaron Judge didn't exist, we'd be talking about him having a chance for the batting title
Well, yeah,
right
I mean,
now.
his numbers have sort of replaced what Henderson was supposed to be, kind of, sort of,
Sure,
right?
sure. And look, I mean, Gunnar Henderson Go look at the numbers. He's not having an awful year by any stretch of the imagination,
He's having an Anthony Santander kind of year.
He hasn't looked like that MVP from the first half of last year. And I mean, obviously now with Adley Rutschman, there's a health concern with the foul off his mask. But for all these guys, again, this is when I want to see what's under the hood in terms of you as a competitor, in terms of you as a club that everyone says how talented you are and all of that. Let's see you start playing better baseball the rest of the way. And is that going to be enough to save this year? No, I don't think it is, because they dug a hole that deep for themselves. But that doesn't mean that you just have to wallow in it and win 50 games and be that kind of team again. Or you get off the mat, you play better baseball, and you see what it looks like the rest of the way, and you see who you identify as saying, hey, okay, this didn't work out team wise, but to your point, Jackson Holliday is looking like a player. That's why I want to see Kobe Mayo up here at some point in the not too distant future and just let the guy play for 2 months and see what it looks like, right? I mean, find out about some of these guys that you've been kind of slow playing and trying to thread the needle with, so to speak. So, a 3-game winning streak, great. Congratulations. You've looked like the team we thought maybe you would look like for at least a few days. But at this point, just
Still
play better.
struggling with runners
Play
in
better.
scoring position,
Well,
still leaving
sure.
runners everywhere.
And
Just
again, this not, I'm not sitting
they
here
lost
saying it's all
19-5,
fixed.
and they had a smear rule the other night. They had a guy, they had a position player pitching again
Oh,
at
yeah,
Fenway
of
Park. I
course.
mean,
Not
since
saying
the
it's all
last time we got
fixed.
together, it was like embarrassing. Then it was like, all right, they got a split. They won a couple of close games. Now they're like on a Lou Baker here, they're on a real
Exactly.
winning streak, like, so hard be it for me to poop upon them at this point, but I mean, let's take them one at a time. Trevor Rogers.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor Rogers, I mean, kind of, obviously it was a doubleheader scenario. I mean, he was in Boston for the originally scheduled doubleheader on Friday. The second game got banged, so then he goes to Saturday, and he looked good. The velocity was a little bit better than what we saw last year. I mean, I think there was a conviction to how he pitched. I thought he was aggressive. It wasn't this overwhelming. It's not like he K'd 13 guys or anything crazy like that, but it played. And I think all you can ask when you're talking about someone who's caught up as a 27th man, or someone who makes a spot start, or someone in the case of a Dylan Carlson who is taking advantage of an opportunity because you got a bunch of outfielders hurt right now, take advantage of that. So in the case of Rogers, he was returned to Norfolk. I'm guessing, he's going to get another opportunity here in the near future and take advantage of it. I mean, that's what this is all
He had
about at this
success in
point.
the big leagues, man.
He did. I
He's
mean, go
not.
back and look.
This isn't Chase McDermott here. This isn't Cade Povich. This is a guy who did it.
He's an
And
all-star.
yeah, I
I mean,
mean,
albeit
like,
for the Marlins, but still an all-star,
well, I
right?
mean,
So.
having walking onto the field at Fenway Park, he's been thinking about that for a long time. Having a chance to redeem and get back and have that kind of success that he had. I mean, it's he stood on the hill of the Yankee Stadium. He's not a neophyte about this finding the magic for all these guys. CNL Perez over the weekend, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, CNL Perez, the last straw of him being DFA'd was, he couldn't get through an inning that they had to use a position player, right? I mean, you get to a point where the bar is so low that you can't even handle mop-up duty without having the struggles. Goodbye. I mean, and I don't say that to be harsh or personal. CNL Perez had a nice couple years as an Oriole, but it wasn't trending in the right direction. And, for me, I was at the point before that move went down that, to me, you look at this, you look around at what's happened. Brandon Hyde, of course, it's been a little over a week now, going on a week and a half since he was fired, where you look at this and say, wait a second. Okay, we all understand how this generally works with managers and head coaches, right? You can't fire the whole team, so the manager or the head coach is the first to go. However, when you get to a point where you have certain individuals like CNL Perez, to a lesser extent, but still Kyle Gibson, was showing no signs whatsoever of being able to get anyone out. Charlie Morton until the last few weeks, where it's trended in a better direction. But my point with that is, You've got to start, if you sent this message that you needed a new voice, a new message, a new manager, when does that start trickling down to the players where you say, if you're not going to get the job done, we're going to bring someone else up who is going to get an opportunity if you're not going to take advantage of it. So, I think CNL Perez is, I want to say the first, but someone who's been around for a few years now, other guys that kind of fit that description at this point. I mean, we've talked about Jorge Mateo off and on for 2 years now, right? I played a little bit of outfield at Fenway over the weekend. Again, they're really banged up with Laureano on the IL now, though Colton Cowser could be back by the end of the week, as he's continuing a rehab assignment. But when you're in this position that the Orioles are in, where you're 15 games under 500, your season's shot compared to what you expected it to be, then I want to see guys get opportunities, and I want to see guys where you say, you're not on scholarship. That frankly, there are a lot of players on this team that are part of the problem of why they're where they are right now. So that's not to be harsh. Again, it's not to be personal. It's not to pick on anyone, but if you're not getting the job done and you're kind of in this middle ground area now where this team isn't going to realistically climb back into the wild card race. At the same time, it's not just having placeholders tanking like they were 5 years ago either. That's where, to me, it's like, okay, give some young guys, give some different guys some opportunity. And, if you need to say goodbye to CNL Perez or Jorge Mateo or Charlie Morton, if he reverts to what he was and is awful 6 weeks from now again, then so be it. You want to find out some information at the
Well, you're
very
back to
least.
pile divers at this point. I mean,
Sure.
if somebody's not going to be on the team next year, they don't need to be around here this year.
That's what I kind of, and that to me is where, hey, Dylan Carlson gotten a chance to play the last few days. Hit a home run at Fenway, hit the big three-run homer on Monday afternoon. Good. Like, good. Dylan Carlson's the kind of guy that, might be someone that's not going to necessarily say a starting player for you next year, but certainly could be on the roster as your fourth outfielder, your backup center fielder. What's going to happen at center field? I mean, with Mullins being a free agent, Cowser can play center field, but Dylan Carlson, hey, you're playing for the rest of this year in 2026.
Maybe
So,
he's your Steve Pierce.
yeah, I mean, you're looking for all of that. And that's why I said, for me,
Well,
I
they're going to
think
be
it,
looking for a manager because this guy's not
sure.
going to be the manager of the team
I mean,
next
you
year,
wouldn't
from
think
what I.
so, right?
Right. And that's why all of this is so
It's weird.
disjointed.
Yeah.
And it shows me that the owner doesn't know what he's doing. Nobody around there has command of what's going on. I don't think they're a better team without Brandon Hyde. And this guy, to me, just watching the press conferences and the body language, like I remember his dad. I remember Doug Mansolino, who's a
Yeah.
longtime coach. And I think I interacted with his dad at various points because I always interacted with coaches because the coaches are always the smartest people. Didn't take me long to figure that out. I only learned about baseball by talking to coaches, not by players. And they were more sharing as well. I'm not down on him. It's just the whole look of it.
Yeah.
It's not smacking championship and confidence and strategy, and we know what we're doing. It's smacking of we're flying by the seat of our pants,
Yeah. Well,
and our pants are on fire.
I mean, what scenario where you're firing a manager in late May is going to reflect well with the things that you just mentioned? I mean, that's just the truth. And I'm with you.
18 games under 500. They're getting their ass kicked 19-5. They got position players pitching at Fenway Park in a
Yeah.
division game.
I mean, this is why
And
Brandon
they
Hyde
have
was
a
fired.
quad A manager there, and they're 18 games under 500. I mean, like, we're shining up the turd here on Tuesday morning because they won a little bit over the weekend, but holy cow. I mean, like, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting over at Cooper's eating a burger, why praying that they, by the way, I brought them good luck. They haven't lost since I had the burger of the month at Cooper's North on Saturday night. But I mean, I'm in there. It was a tie. It was 0-0. Right? But they were up 1-0 in the seventh inning or something. Like they could have gotten swept Saturday. So just it's just I don't see a solution here, and I don't know that I'm looking for one. You're in the middle of the season. We're now post Memorial Day, but like, where's the leadership, man?
Well, I mean, like I said, what is the script when you have to fire your manager in May, right? I mean, what?
Well, it's not hide in Milwaukee 4 days later and do a press conference. The team comes back home, they're
I
winning.
agree.
Like, there's no leadership here. Where's Mr. Rubenstein?
Well,
15,000 people got bobbleheads everywhere. But, like, where's the front for this? Tony
It's Mike
Mancini's the
Elias.
front.
It's
No,
Mike
Mike
Elias.
Elias is hiding.
Well,
Mancini's
but it's
showing up
Mike
3 times a
Elias.
day.
But it's Mike Elias. I mean, I'm not saying it's good, but Mike Elias runs a show. Now, is he going to be running the show after this year? I mean, I think that's to be determined, right? I mean, I think that it's a big question.
Well, if he's going to
But
run and hide when they're getting their ass kicked and fire the manager and then hide for, I mean, like,
yeah, I
this
mean,
has
we
been
talked about this last
odious.
week. I mean,
Yeah,
I hear
I'm
you.
with you, but I mean, they're back home. How long is he going to continue to hide? What? I'm just
I
saying what
mean,
I'm seeing on a daily basis beyond Melanie Newman and the pregame show and Ben McDonald and Palmer looking like really well tanned. I'm just watching it and I'm like, why am I watching it? And I know a lot of people were thinking the same thing and they're all
well,
saying that to me.
I don't
Everywhere
know.
I go and sit on a bar stool, they're like, this is unwatchable. This is terrible. I'm going to Costas on Tuesday night and have some crabs and watch them and just hear what other people think because
It's nothing changing that right now. I mean, I don't care how great your lead, you know,
110
Mike
games
Elias,
left.
but Mike Elias could have called a press conference at the moment that Brandon Hyde is fired. And that's not, no one's, you know, it is what it is. There's no fixing it just like that. I mean, I don't, you know,
But there is getting in front of it.
to a point, but at the same time, what's Mike Elias going to say that any fan's going to feel good about right now? I mean, it's a total mess. I agree with you. I said it last week. It was exhibited poor leadership to not get in front of it. But you know, let's also be realistic in saying there's nothing he can say at the moment that is going to make anyone feel better. It's going to be in the results. That's why I said the rest of the year it's about fixing your young core. It's about getting guys healthy. It's about seeing who is going to be part of this team moving forward and who's not. It's about seeing what kind of trades you can make that not so much to position yourself for 2025, but where you can position yourself for the future, whether that's selling off guys, whether that's being a buyer and a seller hybrid that we've seen teams like the Rays be in the past, where, okay, you're going to sell off some pending free agents, but you also, there might be a pitcher that's, you know, th this year's version of Zach Eflin that you might say, hey, we'll get this guy because we want him for next year. So, I mean, that's really what you're looking at right now. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, three wins in a row. I mean, you know, it's fun for a couple days, but it doesn't change anything. I mean, I still have to play like a 98-win team the rest of the year, just to go 85-77, which may or may not be good enough for to hang in the final wild card spot race.
Well, I
But
look at the lineup they have. I mean, Dylan Carlson aside and the backup catcher and Rutschman now and Sanchez was a bust and Gibson was a bust and you just go Kittredge is pitching now, right?
yeah.
So that's going I you know, finding the silver linings and you know whatever they could deal off, which is you know, I guess that's you're looking for productivity from the young guys to pad stats. To
Yeah.
say maybe they can be 18-7 in the month of September after being, you know, 16-13 in the month of August or so, you know,
Yeah.
just something that feels like signs of life. But I do look at the lineup and I'm like, this is so less than ideal. Just look at the lineup and you know it's not a good baseball team.
Well, I mean, they're not at full strength. I
Right.
mean, they're not even close to full. Now, you're hoping that it's getting closer because Kowser has already started his rehab assignment. Westberg's going to start it at Norfolk this week as well. So maybe by the time you and I are talking a week from now, they have those guys back in the lineup and it's looking more representative. But I mean, that's a big part of it. We've talked about this, you know. In trying to figure out why it's been this bad, and I emphasize the word this, right? This in italics. Why has it been this bad? It's been a combination of, yes, the offseason that you had and not addressing your starting pitching nearly enough. It's been injuries. It's been underperforming. There's been a dash of some tough luck here and there. You know, all those things thrown together, then yeah, you end up getting a scenario where you look on the proverbial bell curve and say, yeah, this is one of the, when you're envisioning all the different scenarios that a season can play out, this has been about the worst case scenario that you'll find. And I don't say that to pity the Orioles or, that it's a woe is me thing, but it's been that bad. So you get to a point now, and you just mentioned it. I think what you're looking for from this Orioles club the rest of the way, can you be like the 2022 team? Think about it. 2022, go look at what the record was in June. They were 10 or 11 games under 500. Then they ripped off a long winning streak in early July, and they were a wild card contender the rest of the year. Well,
Did
that
we
was the
ever?
Rutschman shot in the arm,
Yeah,
right?
it
It was Rutschman and some of the other guys. Gunnar Henderson was called up, what, in late August, I think it was, last week of August, whatever it was. But they were ascending, right? So I think what you want to see from this team the rest of the way is, can you get back to a point where the arrow is pointing upward, right? Can you get back to a point and say, look, the math is, even if this team, starting with this three-game winning streak that they come out of Memorial Day weekend on, even if they're great from that point on, the math is very much against them the rest of the year. So even if that scenario plays out, you're really behind the eight ball big time. So we know the reality of that, So can you get yourself in a position where the eyeball test is matching up? You're playing better defense. You're getting better starting pitching. With Kittredge now in the bullpen, Batista now being allowed to pitch back to backs, you're hoping he's treated like more of a quote regular reliever. You get Cano back on track. You start to have the semblance of, okay, not the best bullpen in baseball by any stretch, but something that looks like some semblance of a, hey, if you get a lead to the seventh inning, you've got a chance to hold
Yeah,
on
dude,
to
I'm
it.
up 4-2 in the seventh. I got to
Exactly.
win,
Like what they
right?
did on Monday. Sir Anthony Dominguez came in the seventh inning, looked good. Cano looked as good as he's looked in a while. And then Batista pitched the ninth inning. I'm not going to say it's going to be that easy every time out, and those guys have to prove that they can go out and do it consistently. But there was, it looked like there was some semblance of design there that, hey, if you get a starter that goes six innings for you and pitches like Charlie Morton pitched, then hey, we've got three or four relievers that we feel okay about at the very least. So, I'm not saying that that's what it's going to be moving forward, but that's kind of the idea. And the same goes for continuing to run Jackson Holliday out there as the leadoff hitter every day. I mean, I one thing that I really liked about their approach, even going back to the end of the Red Sox series, was I think you're just seeing a better approach. I mean, look how many opposite field hits they had against Fetty on Monday. I mean, that was good to see. I mean, Jackson Holliday going the other way twice. Gunnar Henderson going the other way once. O'Hearn going the other way multiple times. I mean, that looked like a more, I don't think it's necessarily like, oh my gosh, they've changed their approach. I think it's carrying out what they've wanted their approach to be all along a little bit more effectively. And how much of that is you're getting a little bit better pitching, and maybe that does help your mindset a little bit. I'll buy that. I never rejected that notion completely. I just didn't like the idea that you were just, not you, just in a general sense, people saying, "Oh, the pitching's bad. What do you expect the hitting to be?" Well, what about the nights where the pitching was okay and they still didn't hit? So, you would just want to see a more representative effort, a more representative showing from this team on a more consistent basis. And, that doesn't mean that they're going to play great the rest of the way. It doesn't mean that they're not going to continue to have some woes, because I still don't have a lot of confidence in this rotation as it's presently constructed. But can you start to get into some stretches where you play, how about play 500 over the course of a few weeks, right? I mean, that would be an improvement from what we've seen. So can you just start
Well, I'm
making
with you with
some.
the rotation. Finding guys that every fifth day is going to take the ball,
Yeah, I mean, it's
like
tough.
that, yeah, that has to be a part of any winning baseball ethos.
Yeah, it's got
In
to be
the
okay.
history, in the history of baseball, if you're going to be decent, you have to have three or four pitchers that are going to make the post, that are going to get in, and then wherever that cavalry is for Radish in August or Rodriguez in
Right.
July or. Any number of, I heard Suarez's name being thrown around, right? So, like, all of these names, including Couser and Westberg and Rutschman, and he's out again, were all part of that thing. And it wasn't going to be Charlie Morton that was going to lead them to the promised land.
No.
We had him penciled in as a fifth starter. He barely made it as that. He's still around. So won him a game on Monday. So a holiday game. So far, where they are in this Mancelino era is, I mean, they've won three games in a row. So I today of all days, I'm not allowed to throw rocks. I'm not going to be the
No,
prick
I.
today.
But at the same time, let's not kid ourselves, right? I mean, let's look at it for what it is. I mean, this has been a very bad baseball team, regardless of what any of our prior expectations were. They've been bad. Their run differential and everything. I've said this to you how many times, where put aside what we thought these guys were supposed to be in terms of the actual play on the field, they've exuded no redeemable qualities. They've been bad pitching wise. Bullpen and rotation. Their offense has been well below average. They haven't run the bases well. They haven't defended very well. You know, I feel like the defense at times has gotten a little bit better over the last couple of weeks, but you know, you still see them have lapses. I mean, by the way, the Red Sox and the Cardinals had lapses, and that's part of why the Orioles have won a couple of these games. And hey, but that's also part of the luck factor and part of, like, if you're going to turn things around, maybe the other team helps you out a little bit more often. But you just want to start seeing some signs of some things that you can latch onto and say, okay, as much as this has stunk, and this season has stunk to the highest degree that it can stink for a team that thought it was going to be good, what can you latch onto? What can you point to say, all right, that's looking better and that's looking encouraging? We've talked about that with Holiday. You know, I think Ryan O'Hearn, it's fascinating because this is a guy who, I mean, he finished Memorial Day. He's hitting 340, right? I mean, he's been really, really impressive. And we've talked about this. It's been a good story for a couple years now. But I look at someone like him, and immediately people are going to think, oh, you can trade him at the deadline. But my question would be, what exactly are you going to get for Ryan O'Hearn relative to if you hypothetically say, I think I might want to keep him around? You know what? Because he's actually one of the few grown-ups we have in our clubhouse. And he's kind of become a spokesman for this team. In, you know, not in the way that he's like the captain, but in the way that when things are rough, he's out in front of it and he's talking about it, and he's picking up some other
He's
guys. You know?
also a big, big disappointment of a guy who was a first round draft pick who's
Sure.
been down the
He's,
dark road.
yeah, I mean, a guy who was, you know, what had chances with the Royals and it never worked out. I mean, think about. I mean, the Orioles picked him up, and you know, it wasn't like he was, oh, they picked him up and he was going to be on their team. I mean, he started in the minors in 2023 before they called him up. So he's someone that I think is such a unique, and I'm just using him as a case study right here. As far as if I'm Mike Elias, if I'm the brain trust of this organization, baseball ops right now, I'm not viewing this through the same lens that I did 3 years ago, where I'm trading Trey Mancini at the trade deadline, even though my team's kind of sort of hanging around in the wild card race. I'm looking at this differently. Now, this doesn't mean I'm not trading Ryan O'Hearn, no questions asked. If someone wants to really give me something that's really attractive that I think can, honest to goodness, really help me next year and moving forward, then fine. But if it's more of a case of, you know, it's a couple lottery tickets and that's about it, my argument would be, I'm not so sure Ryan O'Hearn isn't more valuable staying put and being part of your team moving forward, at least the next couple years, than just trading him because some team's willing to give you a couple middling prospects for him. That's the kind of thing that I think if you're Mike Elias, I want to see how he sorts through this. You know, I want to see what adjustments are made. I want to see how he operates at the trade deadline. I want to see what's going to happen with the manager. Is, you know, we still don't have clarity on Mancelino. You know, is he truly, honest to goodness, going to be just the interim manager for the next 4 months? Or are you at least going to explore? I'm not saying you have to do it, because we all understand that the pool of candidates is more limited in season than it would be come October. But are you going to explore the possibility? Are you open to the possibility of hiring a manager in the way that the Orioles hired Buck Showalter in August of 2010, after they had canned Tremley 2 months earlier? So, you know, these are the things I want to know. These are the things I want to find out about some of these young guys. I want to see who gets off the mat. I want to see who bounces back. I mean, Trevor Rogers, maybe that was just a one-off. Maybe that was, hey, it's baseball and weird things happen. Or was this a case of Trevor Rogers did some soul searching in the offseason. He even talked about this, after his start on Saturday. He acknowledged that he had some doubts, wondering if he was going to make it back to the majors, just the way things had trended so poorly for him over the last year. And he admitted to kind of doubting himself. I want to see what this start does for him now, confidence-wise, moving forward. Doesn't mean that he's going to be a fixture in the rotation, but maybe this is the start of him turning it around. I want to see, this is gut check time for a lot of these guys. Again, there's not really too many likely scenarios or too many paths to save their season. We all understand that. But can you get this thing, it's like trying to get something turned around and moving in the right direction again. And that's what I want to see. That's what I want to, and it's, believe me, a three-game winning streak tells us nothing about that big picture question. It's just a three-game winning streak. Everyone other than maybe the Rockies will have a three-game winning streak this year. But I want to see, I want to see things start to turn and start to look a little bit better. And it doesn't mean it's going to look that way across the board. It doesn't mean that they're going to go 20-10 over the next month, but start looking better. Start looking like a little more like the team we thought you were capable of being this year. And, from that point, I don't know what grand conclusion you draw, but at least you feel better about things and you feel better about this team's prospects of being a contender next year compared to if you just go through the motions and you just stink for the next 4 months and you're 50 and 112 or 55 and 107, and then that's when it gets really tough to look at this thing and say, all right, what's the pathway to contend next year? If you're that bad for that long, that's where I think you really start to fight the, that the old adage, it's really tough to stop losing. Losing is a disease, to think back to the natural and, the sports psychologist that was speaking to the Knights or whatever, but, just start tasting some success a little bit more. Start feeling better about yourselves. And again, it's not going to save everything. It's not going to make anything all better, but it sure beats the alternative of just falling lower and lower down the standings and further away from 500.
I still continue to watch how they're reacting to losing. Mr. Rubenstein, Katie Griggs, the whole front office, all Elias, all of it. Al Mancelino is taking this opportunity for himself, as well as, every Carlson, every player who's getting at bats and getting opportunities here. Charlie Morton aside, because he's playing for pride at this point and he's getting paid. But in many cases here, I'm wondering what the pathway forward is. If they continue to falter in regard to who's going to manage a team, who's going to pick the players, all of that, who's going to pick the person that picks the players. Luke is here. He is Baltimore Luke. The Orioles are home all week. St. Louis in town and the White Sox this weekend as well. You can find Luke anywhere the internet is served. We're doing some football as well this week. Some activities being held out in Owings Mills that Luke will be covering later on this week, and some questions about all those football decisions they've made with their special teams. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.